proclaiming truth to restore life and liberty. This is The Future of America with your hosts, Ramon and Nena Arias. They have proclaimed truth for over 30 years in many nations of the world and now endeavor to restore the values of the biblical worldview that made the United States of America the most powerful nation in the world. Ideas have consequences. They are passed on from generation to generation, forming the culture of a society. To eradicate error, the moral and ethical principles of the Bible must be firmly established in the heart and mind of each individual. Discover how to apply biblical principles to transform your world. And now your hosts, Ramon and Nena Arias.
Life is full of choices, and whatever we do, it's our choice. No one else is at fault. We make choices. And one of the choices that Joshua told the Israelites was, I don't know if you're going to serve God or not, but as far as I'm concerned, me and my house are going to serve the Lord. Or you can choose to serve the gods that you worship in Egypt and in the desert, or you can be wise enough to embrace God's ways and be faithful to His ways. It's a choice. The situation in the world is the result of people's choice, and the world is desperately in need of individuals who truly know the God of the Bible and embrace it for what it is and not in name only. Meaning the world needs those who understand who they are in Christ and that we are here to make a difference. Let us take a small glimpse. You must make a lasting difference in this life. I'm Ramon Arias.
And I'm Nena Arias. For a very good reason, the Lord said that we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Without the knowledge that only God's people can impart to the world, guess what? The world remains in darkness. The world remains adrift, not really knowing what direction to take, or they start making up their own because they lack this knowledge that only God's people can impart to them in the dimension that it needs to be imparted. So this is the task that we have before us, and it's very, very critical. Yes, God has given us everything that we need to have a new life in Him, and He has given us everything to equip us while we journey through this world. And there's certain things that need to happen in the world that God has chosen to use human vessels. It is beyond me why He has entrusted such important work to such faulty beings, but He has. That's what He has chosen to do. And certainly it is to shame all those who think they are wise in their own understanding. Certainly it is to shame and to defeat completely the argument of Satan, who wanted to take his place. And we need to work with God's plan so that it can be clearly manifested that nobody can ever take God's place. And if He can manifest a superior wisdom, even through weak human vessels like we are, how much more His knowledge will triumph in all areas of life and all applications in the universe. I hope I didn't lose you in that, but I know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about God has a challenge, and He's answering that challenge every single day, that He is God because He is superior in knowledge, in power, in wisdom, in control, and no one can ever take His place. So this is the task before. So when we say, you must make a lasting difference in this life, which is what we're talking about today, That's exactly what it means, and that's exactly what God requires of his people. And I'm excited. You know why? Because that gives life purpose. Who wants to live a life of routine without really knowing where you're going, beating something, but what? Beating the air, working toward goals that are temporary and fade anyway. So God's perspective of life and the mission that he has given us is what gives me an incentive to face a new day and to give it all I've got and to enjoy God's goodness and apply God's principles and to see the results. That is what gives me the purpose for my life. So this is an exciting topic, and I hope you think so too.
Want certainty about life for the one who follows God in Christ is that it is not enough to dream. You wish you could change things all around you and change the world. The ifs of life do not agree well with the fact that we have been given the most powerful resource any human can ever dream of having. Yes, I mentioned singular resource. And you'll see, and you should know what that is. We constantly hear about American exceptionalism. Let me caution you. Beware if by exceptionalism, we only look at the external materialistic accomplishments without analyzing in depth the root cause of those accomplishments. We cannot just be in awe about the materialistic accomplishments. Looking at 6,000 years of history, we find many great civilizations. They too became exceptional, and yet they were all destroyed. You see, human exceptionalism can only be understood and found by comprehending that we are created beings and not masters of all we are and what we do. We're not. Exceptionalism is not having all this wealth, power, dominion over others. Biblical Christians, of all people, should know better than most the reasons for all the problems and what causes them. We should know in detail why. It is impossible for an individual, family, community, nation, or nations to overcome the evil that so easily dominates them. However, those of us who have acknowledged our need for better understanding, how should we live, and were wise enough to embrace Christ Jesus as our Savior and Lord, must evaluate if we truly are transforming our lives by the renewing of our minds and engaging in every way we can, always taking advantage of every opportunity that comes our way for shedding light to every problem. You see, when God's people refuse to engage in the cultural transformation, not only do we fail ourselves and fall into a meaningless routine, but we also fail God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, those close to us, and present and future generations. We fail all that, and that is a lot. God does not save us in Christ Jesus to be a defeated people, but victorious in every sense of the word. If we're not, then we should question. Why not? We must correct our unbelief and evil ways and accept the uniqueness we have in Christ. And as we change our life, seek to change the evil culture, but always moving forward from victory to victory, in spite of all the challenges, setbacks, defeats, and delays. without whining, murmuring, procrastinating, and any other behavior that offends the fullness of God in us. Just like God called people into victory before Christ, can you imagine what happens now that Christ is our highest model to follow after? With Christ, all things began to take a different turn for all nations, just as God promised Abraham that he, meaning Christ, was going to be a blessing to all nations. We don't see those blessings to all nations. It is not because God is incapable of bringing about all that, but he left that up to us, those who we profess to be followers of Christ. You see, if Christ came to establish churches, institutions, denominations, then we're okay. But that's not what he came to do. He came to establish the new creation of God's society. He is the first fruit. He is the beginning of this new society and what every one of us should be. That's why Christ in us is that blessing. When Paul wrote his letter to the Romans, the believers in Rome, he said something that we must analyze along this topic. He said, and I quote, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us." Let us look briefly to this portion of Paul's letters in Romans chapter 8, verses 32 through 34. First of all, in verse 32, he lays out the concept of the idea of exceptionalism in the life of the individual. He who did not spare his own son, who is he? God, who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. You see, God did not spare. And then we know that Christ came to reconcile us with God. For what purpose? To build the churches as we know them, or to be Christ's disciples so we can become sons and daughters of God by the manifestation of the fruits of that relationship, that knowledge, that life? Not because we say we are. Is not in name only that we become sons and daughters of God, but with facts. Facts must back up what we say we are. When John was writing his letter, what we call the Gospel of John, he said, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God." It goes right along to what Paul was telling the believers in Rome. God did not spare his son, but gave him up for us all. And now we have this understanding that when you and I receive Christ, we are entering into a new level of being exceptional. So exceptionalism is not about a country. It's about individuals who have the life of God through Christ Jesus, or in Christ Jesus, in order to say, okay, I am a new creation. I'm a new person. I understand the world. I understand life. I understand how things should run from God's perspective. That, my friend, is exceptionalism.
You know, it breaks my heart when I see that a person who has had a personal encounter with Christ they surrender their life to the Lord, and new life begins in them, and they are so excited about that new life. And they share with everyone what has happened to them. They tell them how their life was in the past and how now they feel so liberated, so forgiven, so free, and they want to live this life to its fullest. But then, when time goes by, these people fall into a routine, and it becomes meaningless because you do not see that same spark continue in the believer's life. It kind of dies down, and they enter into this meaningless routine in their life. And then later on, the only thing they can revert back to is that initial time of salvation. But you know what? The life of the believer, we've been given so much. You read it right there in Romans. God did not hold back anything, and he has given us so much. And Jesus said that the works that I have done, meaning to himself, you're going to even do greater works. So we should see a revolutionary spirit in the life of the believer constantly. They should seek change and move forward and not become stale and static in their walk with God. I have seen this so many times in the lives of believers. And you see them several years down the road, and they're just kind of like humdrum. You know, yes, they still continue to confess Christ as Lord, but then they kind of lost that luster that you saw in their initial conversion. And of course, the Bible talks about losing your first love. That's what it means. That happens when people settle for stale spiritual food, junk food. You don't crave the spiritual knowledge of God and the experience that continues to liberate over and over and over again and maintains the spirit light and free and more powerful. And of course, the Lord said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. So when there's not that freedom that continues to shed a deep root in the life of the believer, then there's no signs that follow. There's no exploits. There's no exceptionalism like you were talking about. There's no evidence that God is there. And of course, the work is that we must continue to renew our mind constantly and crave for the deeper things of God, not stay with the spiritual milk. And as we acquire this knowledge, we apply it to our lives. And so today, years down the road, if you accepted Christ several years back, your life should be more vibrant. There should be no doubt in your mind. When you confront problems and situations, you should have it right there. You should know right there how to apply, what to apply, even though momentarily there may be a readjustment in your life to understand and get your bearings. But since you've been doing your homework, you've been shedding down deep root, you're longing and thirsting for the deep things of God in the Spirit, for knowledge and understanding to apply to life, for knowledge and understanding to become salt and light. If all this becomes an integrated process in you, then there has to be that moving forward. And there's nowhere where you will be where people will not notice that there's something different in you. It matters not what circle you begin to interact with. They will know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there's something different in you. They may not even be able to put their finger on it, but they'll know. Number one, they'll recognize honesty, integrity, commitment. They'll see this fruit in you. They'll see that you have wisdom, words of wisdom in circumstances to share with them. So this advancement of the believer has got to be present at every moment, even after salvation, and not just revert to past experiences, but it should be a freshness of moving forward in our life as we apply and hunger for the knowledge of God and acquire it and make good use of it.
To complement what we just heard, John also wrote in 1:12-13, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God. God's will was to give you and me this new, exceptional, way of life in Christ Jesus. There is no other exceptionalism for us. And this goes across the board. Any nationality, any race who embraces Christ, it becomes a very special. That's why, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Those who do not accept this truth, they're already condemned. So here we have the condemned people with their ideas, with their zeal to own this world, but they are always going to cause problems because they're already in this condemned situation because they reject God's ideas. Is it any wonder that many Christians who begin to set their eyes what the institutions are doing, they become disillusioned, they go away, and others just go the opposite way by being atheists. In verse 33 of Romans 8, we read, "Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies." We are being condemned. We're being reduced more and more like something insignificant in this nation, when it was precisely the Christians who came and established colony, the pilgrims, who brought this rich knowledge of what it means to be in Christ Jesus, be obedient to God's principles. They were condemned by the king, the queen of England throughout decades because they wanted to live according to God's principles. You see? They made a decision because he knew that God justifies. And this is not only after Christ. The prophet Isaiah says in chapter 50, verse 8 and 9, "He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Behold, all of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up." Very simple, isn't it? God is on our side. And we must not lose sight that this battle that we have in front of us, we have to fight according to the weapons that God has given us. And those are spiritual weapons to begin to bring down everything that exalts against God's principles. There's a lot of people who are very uncomfortable with the situation in the United States of America. There is even talk about those who are saying, you know what, after this 4th of July, we're giving you 1 year for the states to reject the federal government and to begin to do something about it. Otherwise, we are going to the next American Revolution. Let me tell you something. If guns were the answer, then I would be there at the front line. But our weapons in God are more powerful. And if we think that we can overthrow a civil government only to put what? Another ungodly government? When you say people who obey the Constitution, listen, if we do not obey God's moral law, what makes you think any individual is going to make the right decision? We need righteousness, and righteousness can only come as people embrace the life that God has given them. That's why no one can condemn us, and we should not be intimidated by anybody. Listen to what Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 and 11 says. "And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives even unto death." We have a challenge. You see, many Christians think that Christ needs to come and fix this mess. Excuse me. He already showed up. He already destroyed the powers of the enemy. And that's why he has all authority in heaven and on earth. And he's sending all of us throughout centuries to disciple the nations, to be conquerors, to be able to come with this great ideas what it means to be exceptional. Verse 34 of chapter 8, Paul says, who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Remember what Romans 8 verse 1 says? Therefore now there is no condemnation. If you are walking in the will of God, and if you are moving forward with God, of course a lot of people are going to feel offended. We are not here to be embraced by men. We are here to do God's will, just like Jesus Christ was not looking for people to accept him in their own terms. They had to accept him, Christ, in God's term. The same goes for us. And why is Jesus doing intercession for us? Well, listen to what Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 says. Consequently, he's able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Again, why is Jesus making intercession for us? He's making intercession for those who are exactly following his footsteps. Those who do the will of God the Father. Those who are the salt and the light to this world. To those who walk in that fullness of God, of Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Those who embrace the truth of God and live by it, and they don't bend or they don't make any concessions or compromise with the truth. Those are the ones that Christ is making intercession. And you know what? He's not making intercession so we can be defeated. He's making intercession because we're exceptional, as he is exceptional, and we can bring others to this exceptional way of life. That's why you must make a lasting difference in this life. You must. Don't be intimidated. Don't listen to your own shortcomings. Press on, and keep pressing on, bringing those changes in your life, making difference at every level that you have a chance. With all the means that we have now through the internet, we can have blogs, we can tweet, we can have Facebook, you can even record your messages. Get out and do that work and glorify God who is in you. You must make a lasting difference in this life. Be involved. Engage yourself in every area of life, whether it's in science, technology, humanities, commerce, or education. Involve and make the difference. As a child of God, you are more than conqueror. You have to believe that God has raised you up for this hour. That's why you must make a lasting difference in this lifetime. Let us pray for biblical reformation. See you next time.
Thank you for joining us in this broadcast. May these truths challenge and change your heart. We hope today's topic has truly enriched your life so we can make America strong again. This program is made possible by the generous financial support of our listeners. All donations are tax deductible. We would love to hear your questions and comments. Please visit our website at www.culturallegacy.org. You may email us at cl@culturallegacy.org or write to The Future of America, P.O. Box 38456, Greensboro, North Carolina, 27438. Call us at 1-877-732-2887. Again, 1-877-732-2887. Remember, you are a person of positive or negative influence. What you do today will impact the future.